I mean, if I could learn.
Okay, so this year is Adam Sin and Intrinsic Free Will. Okay. So the main source is really, it's basically I'm doing the Ramban Shita. Okay, I wanted to make this a Torah and Science year, but it's really just the Ramban.
He's not a Torah and Science guy.
Who, the Ramban?
Yeah.
It depends how you, that's not true. But it's about the Ramban Shita on Adam Sin and the idea of Bechira, of free will. Okay, so it's like, and basically there's two Rambans, Beis, Tas, and Bereishis. And one in Dvarim. So I'm really just going to, you know, read them. They're not that long.
In Dvarim?
It's in Dvarim. You'll see. Because Ramban holds that the way Adam was before he sinned is the way that it will be. The world will, man will become again in Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Haba. How things will become again in his Olam Haba, his version. So you can, he holds the same thing. So
what's his version of Olam Haba again? To summarize,
it's physical. He holds it's in this world after Yemos HaMashiach, but it's on this world.
But that's after Tchias HaMeisim, right?
It's after Tchias HaMeisim. It's just not a non-physical. It's not like the Rambam, where it's just the non-physical soul. It's the soul and the body will reunite. That's the Rambam's Olam Haba. But we'll get to that. Okay. So there's one major problem. I mean, maybe there's multiple ones, but. One major problem, and I'm going to let you guys ask it. You know, you'll see it. You'll figure it out, I'm sure, soon enough. And I was telling my idea over to Rabbi Eli Feder this week, you know, 2 weeks ago. You know, and I had the idea. And he was reminding me, like, because I feel like I just worked on this problem for many times, you know. He was reminding me, like, we were discussing this problem, this Ramban, in the old smoking room in the yeshiva. So, like, we must have been working on this problem for at least 10, 15 years. It's just one of these problems, and I have an idea, possible solution. And you guys let me know, okay? But the problem is, it'll jump out at you. Eventually, you'll get it, okay? So let's start for the Ramban. So Ramban is basically, I'm going to start in the towards the beginning, but a little bit, you know, a little bit after the beginning. I don't want to go through the other sheet that he talks about. So the question is, what is going on with the Eitz Hadas Tovara? What does it mean? What is the word Hadas Tovara mean? Okay. So the way that what did this tree do? When you ate from this tree, what happened? Okay, so the Ramban and the other Shita, who I'm not going to deal with, they both hold something happened to man when he ate from it. Some change occurred to man. What was that change?
He realized he was naked.
That's for sure. He definitely realized he was naked. Why did he realize that? Okay, that's clearly the most obvious symptom, right? He realized he was naked. And
Conscience. He now knew from right and wrong.
He knew from right and wrong. So that's one way to translate it.
No, because what's wrong with being naked, knowledge. That's why you can't say that it's right and wrong.
Knowledge. It's knowledge.
That's a rash.
Right. Right. Okay, good. Well, again, we're not going to do rash. Do Ramban. Okay, so Ramban is not going to translate the word das as knowledge. Okay? Good? You familiar or no? You look surprised.
No, I've never heard.
Okay, good. Okay, good. So you learned something. So look at this. V'hayafa be'inai. So what's the good shot? What is it? What's the deal with this tree? Says so, right, if you can find it. Bayes test. V'hayafa be'inai. In the article, it's page 103, the top of 103. Okay. V'hayafa be'inai. Ki ha'adam hayosu betivo masheroi lasos kefia teledes. That man, Adam, before the sin, he would do by his nature that which it's appropriate to do according to his basic instincts, the instinctual nature, would to do what was proper. Kasha yasu ha-shamayim v'chol tzvam, as like the heavens, right, the sun, the moon, the stars, shehem po'ale emes, shepul asem emes, v'lo yishanes tafkidam, right, a quote from the Birchas HaLevana, that they're true workers, they follow the natural law, they follow the laws of physics and their orbits, and they never change their orbits, the trajectories just follow the laws of nature, and they're always in line with the appropriate laws. Ve'en lehem b'maseyam ava osina, and they never have love or hate in terms of, they don't have emotions, they just do what's appropriate. Upri ha'ilan, that's what man was like. Man was like the sun, the moon, the stars in terms of following his nature, doing what was appropriate, what he should be doing.
He was like a machine or an animal.
Okay. Good. Either one, I guess.
No, there's a difference. Like, are you saying he didn't have emotions? or he just didn't have any conflict?
Good question. Good question. Yeah, go ahead.
What does telepathy mean?
They translate it as instinct, but I would translate it as like his nature, but then I don't know what they're interested in that in Tifo is. So I'll go with Art Scroll, that it means instinct. Yeah. Teles, I thought, means like just natural causes. I think it means like cause, like a natural causality. That's what I think it means. Like
what's the word?
Toledes. I think it means.
Toledes?
I think Teles means causality, like the system of causality.
Toledes?
But they translate as instinct. So, okay. But he would just follow his nature, just the same thing as every other physical being in the world follows its nature. That's what man was like. Upri ha'ilan hazeh ha'yamolid ha'ratzon v'achefetz. So this, the fruits of this tree, of the Eitz Hadas Tovara, would cause, bring about, molid, cause to be produced, ratzon, will, v'achefetz, and desire. She yivcharu ochlav badavar o behefcho, letov o lera. That the people who, if you once you eat from this tree, the fruits of this tree, so then you can choose something or its opposite, whether for good or for bad. Okay, you get choices of doing good or bad, a thing and its opposite. Davar o behefcho, two possibilities, different choices, one way or the other. V'lachein nikra Eitz Hadas Tovara. That's why it's called the Eitz Hadas Tovara. Ki Hadas, yeah. Ki Hadas ye Omer Bilshonenu al Ratzon. So Das means will, okay? Intent. Kilshonam, like Marm Sachem, Lo Shonu el Shaddai Tilachzor. Right? When a person has to, has to do bedika. I forgot exactly the case. Maybe it's a case of bedika. So it's only the case he has to do bedika when he leaves within 30 days. If it's daito lachzor, if he has intends, he has in mind to go back. He has in mind to return home. So daito lachzor means he has in mind to go home. It means he intends. It doesn't mean he has knowledge. It means he has intent. So daito means like what he wants, what he thinks he's going to do, what he wants to do. Usha daito lefnoso, or if you have a mind to clear it out. His, right, what he has in mind, what he intends to do. Ubalashan akasav ma adam vate deyu. What is man that you should tachbutz v'tirzebo? You should desire him. You should want him. Yidaticha b'shem becharticha mikodem. I've chosen, which means yidaticha b'shem. I've chosen you from all the people. V'chein maimar habarzili. That's the case that the prior shita was doing. We skipped over. Ha'eda bein tov l'ra. What does it mean? Ha'eda bein tov l'ra. She'avim menikoch harayon. His imaginative faculty had been lost, or his lo hayabocher b'davar lo katzbo. He didn't choose something. He wasn't disgusted in something. Vayochem b'li sheyitom v'shemei b'li sheyis aneg b'shir. He lost some sort of neurological faculty, and he couldn't taste things. He couldn't enjoy song. So ha'eda bein tov l'ra. Could he really desire? Could he really intend and want between different things? He lost his emotional desires for things. Okay, so
like a robot, not like an animal.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Then what was the purpose of eating from the Eitz Hadas?
The purpose? God told him not to. But why did he?
From the other trees. Oh, like what you were saying last time.
Yeah, we're gonna review that. That's part of my answer. Okay, review it a little bit.
And also, what for questions or more facts?
You can ask questions.
This seems to go against the purpose of man.
Oh, very good question. I mean, the purpose of man, Ramban says in multiple places, was that there should be a creature with free will who should serve his creator, recognize his creator through free will. So it sounds like man didn't have Bechira until he ate from the...
Which was a sin.
Which was a sin.
God's intention
correct,
for him.
Correct, correct. Yeah, with the Ramban we saw in Hazinu last year, but Ramban says multiple places. The purpose of man, of the earth, is to have a creature with free will.
Didn't man
choose
to eat from
the Eitz? Okay, yes, man did choose to eat from the Eitz. It's a sin.
So
therefore what?
Why did they go against Ramban?
Oh, you mean because he had free will?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So there's your answer. He did have free will.
Yeah.
Then you have to redefine that.
Okay, good. That's the question. Okay, good? Okay. That's the main question here. If you say he doesn't have free will, which is what the Ramban sounds like he's saying, so you have two problems. One is the whole purpose of man is to have a creature with free will who could serve his creator. Problem one. And problem two is, how did he sin if he doesn't have free will? And certainly, how do you punish him if he doesn't have free will? Yeah, that's the question.
Maybe this tree brought about his free will. Meaning he didn't have free will until it came in regards to this tree, which triggered...
Why did he punish them?
Right, but if this tree... If the tree is what gave him the free will, then how does he get punished for eating from the tree? And then how could God command him not to eat from the tree if the whole purpose of creation was for him to have free will?
No, I'm just explaining why this tree is called Eitz Hadas, if he clearly had free will beforehand.
Right.
Meaning this tree triggered this, meaning he, if any other tree, nothing, there wouldn't have been any, there was nothing he wasn't allowed to do, so there was no, nothing to rebel against.
Right.
So this tree provided this conflict.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, so let's see the Ramban further, but that's a good approach, okay?
Okay. Hello, could you just please tell me over what the Ramban said exactly?
So far he's saying that man before he ate from the tree was like this, you know, he was like a planet. He just followed his natural instinct and he did what was appropriate to do. And only after, once he ate from the tree, did he now have the ability to have desire and will and able to choose something and its opposite and between good and bad.
Specifically, like a malach.
You could say like a malach. Yes, you could say that.
I just wanted to get the idea. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
It says specifically only.
I hear the question. The question's a powerful question.
Yes, it's the problem. Okay, it's the main problem. Okay.
Does it specifically say only once he ate, or the tree caused it?
He says pri ha'ilan hazeh hayemolid haratzon v'achefetz. So that's what these fruits did. Now, I'm going to keep reading. What does it mean? It means that the fruits of this tree would cause. Molad is caused to be generated.
Oh, it's caused, not once.
Molad. Molad is to cause to be generated. In the those who eat it, the ratzon and chayfetz, desire and will. Chayfetz is wanting something, wanting and willing. So that you can choose a thing or its opposite for good or for bad. Okay, so I'm going to go further, read, finish the Ramban, not that much more, and read the other one, and then you'll see this question is it's very strong. So when between Adam and Chava, when they would have sexual relations, it was not for desire. When it was time to make babies, they would get together. And she would make babies. Okay, Be'ez Ha'olad. That's when you know. That's the time. It's time to procreate. They would have relations. V'lachein hayu evam kulam be'neim kepanav yadayim. So then all their limbs, right? Even the you know what we call nowadays their privates, right? They weren't private back then. They were just like hands and face. They didn't look at them as any different. They were purely functional. V'lo yizbosha shumehem. They weren't embarrassing. They weren't ashamed of them. Because they were just purely functional limbs. V'hinei achrei achlo min ha'etz, ha'yse b'yado ha'bechira. Once he ate from the tree, now he had in his control, his possession, he had free will, bechira. He had choice. U'birtzono lahara u'lehetev, bein lo bein lacherem. And through his will, he can harm or he could do good. Eat either to himself. He could harm himself and do good for himself. Or to others. V'zo mida Elokim mitzad echad. So this is really a mida of Elokis. It's like a divine attribute in a certain sense. Just like God is able to do good or do harm for others. Okay, mitzad echad. It's hard to understand what that means. Because v'yisim kelokim yodei tov v'ra. That's what the Nachash said. Right, that when you eat from it, v'yisim kelokim. And it says also, right, that's what the Nachash told them, you'll be like God, yodea tovara. So he's trying to explain why that's, because he holds the Nachash was telling the truth.
And that wouldn't seem to apply to God, because God doesn't have a conflict.
Well, he doesn't say conflict, he just says that you have bechira to choose to do good or to do bad. And God could certainly choose to do good or bad to you. Right? Okay, so it's on the one hand, it's like a midelakim, and the pasuk also after Adam ate from it, it says Hein achad hayek echamimenu ladas tovara. right? So that the God himself said that, that God, man is like one of us. So you see, that's where the Ramban's Raya is, that's the part we skipped, is that there really is a truth to it, that it is mid elokis. And now he's explaining it, that this ability, the bechira, to do laharo lehetiv, bein lo bein lechirim, that's a mida elokis. It's a divine attribute. It's an element of that only God really possesses. Vira la adam, but it's also bad for a man. It's not a good thing. It's bad for a person. Bios lo yetzer v'taiva. But now he has like yetzer, right? The instincts, yetzer, or however you want to try it, psyche maybe, yetzer. V'taiva and desires. V'efshar she niskave nakosov l'inyin hazeh kish amar. And it could be this is what the pasuk in Koheles means when it says, Asher asa Elokim es Adam Yashar, vehima bikshu cheshbonos rabim, that God made man straight, and they sought after many calculations, many different cheshbonos rabim, many different, you know, calculations or different thinkings, different choices, different.
What? Can you repeat that?
The pasuk is Asher asa. Asher asa Elokim es Adam Yashar, that God made man straight.
Where is this?
It's pasuk in Koheles, Zayin Chav Tes. Vehema and they bikshu cheshbonos rabim. They sought after many different calculations, many different cheshbonos is like the different permutations, different, you know, paths a person could take. Hayosher, what does it mean that God made man straight? She yochez derech achas yashara, that that really man should hold by one straight way. V'habakasha, and what they saw b'cheshbonas rabim, wasn't mean they saw cheshbonas rabim. She'evakish lo ma'isim mishtanin b'bechirim menu. They really sought after many different possible actions through man's choice. So God made man in one way where he had one path, like a planet follows its orbit, never deviates. And man sought to be something else, that he should have bechira and choice and to do many different possibilities, many different things. Okay. Now the last part of the Ramban, I'm just going to show you how he reads these psukim before we go to the Ramban and Tvarim. Yes, go ahead.
That after the sin, man became like Elohim.
Yes.
So he said that before the fate, he was doing things in an automatic way where he didn't have to choose. He was just
following his nature.
So isn't that closer to being like Elohim?
Yes, like man is made B'Tzelem Elokim.
No, but that's not referring to free will because Malachim don't have free will. And he said, in our image.
Well, no, I mean, leave out angels because angels could be, you know, Echad Mimenu.
They could be what?
Let's leave out angels. But just the planets don't have.
If you bring in B'Tzelem Elokim, then you bring in angels because he said, in our image.
Forget B'Tzelem Elokim then. Okay. If you have to forget it, forget it. Is that he was the Ramban compares him to, say, the planets, okay? And they just follow their nature and they don't deviate from the course, lo yishanes tafkidam, and they don't have a choice to, you know, go in an elliptical orbit. Maybe they want to go in a circular orbit. I always got to go in ellipse. A circle is more perfect, right? The circumference to the area. They don't get a choice. God says you follow Kepler's laws, they follow Kepler's laws. So, science and Torah here. Okay.
So Elohim are laws.
No. What?
Man will be like Elohim.
Vayishim ke'elokim yodei tov v'ra? No, that's because once man ate from the tree, now he had choices. He could do different things. He didn't have to just go in ellipse. He could go in a triangle if he wants.
That's the
rectangle.
The ability to choose.
Yes. Yes. God can choose and do different things. He's not constrained to follow his nature. He can do whatever he wants. There's no internal constraints on God. There's no internal or external constraints on God. That's what we mean by God has free will.
There's an internal constraint, so to speak.
No, he has no internal constraint. That's
well,
part.
If you say that he follows reason, then
no, we don't. We don't hold that he follows reason in that sense.
We're not going to get
No, that's that part of the idea of Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem means that there's no internal constraints on God. He doesn't have any parts, so there's nothing. He's not like, you know, a robot has internal constraints, how it must act, because it has internal parts, it has a program. God doesn't have any parts. He has no program, algorithm that he has to follow. He's perfectly free. He has nothing external, obviously, that can control him, and nothing internal. right? He just, all we do is we see how he acts, but nothing forces his hand. He's perfectly free to create the world, to not create the world, right? So the world is created. He has a choice in whether he wants to make the world or not. So that's, but like, you know, planet doesn't get a choice. It's got to listen to God. The, you know, fire has to burn and you know, water's got to be wet. It doesn't get a choice. It has to flow
like
from
God
a higher place.
Just following its nature.
What?
Like God, it's just following its nature, no?
That's what I'm saying. God's not just following his nature. That's not what God...
No,
God,
he's free because nothing constricts... Nothing.
He doesn't have a nature. He doesn't have a nature to do anything. That's an Aristotelian...
Or else he wouldn't have done anything.
No, no, no. That's already an Aristotelian idea that he has to, necessary existence, he has to make the world. We say God doesn't have to make the world. If he chooses to, he makes the world. If he doesn't choose, he doesn't make the world. His nature does not dictate, necessitate that he make the world.
Creation is part of his nature,
then. Is part of God's nature to create the world? No.
Can he posit, isn't that the only thing you can posit about
exists.
Why God created the world? Is because it's part of his nature?
No, that's Aristotle. That God had to make the world because his nature is such that he makes the world.
Yeah.
Therefore, you can't conceive of God without conceiving of a universe.
Because then otherwise you could ask why.
No, but we don't hold that we hold the world was created. We don't hold by Aristotle. We hold like Bracious Bar Elohim.
No, but we don't hold that it's in God's nature.
It's God's that, will, right? But not God's nature.
Right.
God's will.
Yes, God's
What's
will.
What's the difference?
God's nature means
God's
that he
will,
has
God's
to.
God's nature can't be seen.
No, that's exactly the point. Very good. That's exactly the point. If you say it's God's nature, then it's by his essence necessitates that he create the universe.
Yeah.
That's Aristotle. Therefore, if you the idea of God necessitates that there's also a universe, because God has to make a universe. You can't conceive of God without conceiving of a universe.
Yeah.
That's the eternal universe, because since God's eternal, the universe is eternal too. It's secondary to God in the sense that it's dependent upon him, but God has to make the universe because that's his nature. That's Aristotle. The Torah rejects that. We hold Bereishis Bara Elokim, that God chose, he created the universe, which means that you could conceive of God and no universe. You could conceive of God making a universe. I don't know. You have to look around. Turns out there is a universe, but he has the free will. He has the choice to make a universe, to not make a universe. He doesn't have to make a universe. He's not constrained by his nature. That's what we mean by the world is
why.
Created.
But then you could ask why.
Yes, I mean, there's. I'm not giving you the whole shiur on the eternal universe, but
did
yes, that's your why does he create the universe?
No,
right,
that's
a problem.
No,
you have to answer.
I'm pretty sure that Rebbe said that you can't ask why because it, meaning it just is. That's the way God is, implying that that is his nature.
He said that?
Remember in that shiur, I think it was on a Q&A.
Rebbe's an Aristotelian? No. I don't know. Maybe you misunderstood what he was saying.
He didn't mean that.
He didn't mean that. If he said that, he didn't mean that. Okay. Okay. Don't worry about it. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. If Rebbe said it, then that's true. The world's eternal. The universe is eternal. If Rebbe said it, I don't want to go. Okay, fine.
Think of a non-literal interpretation.
That's fine. Don't worry about it.
So that's the first question, is if God created man with Tzelem Elohim,
right.
How is it that he became like Elohim after the sin? And how is it that he would elevate his status as Elohim only through violating the one command he wasn't supposed to do? And that, in fact, made him greater.
Okay, you could ask the question that way. You could ask the question that way. If free will is a divine attribute, and it seems like, it's part of the original question, it's like it's a Mida Elohim, and it seems like it's God's will that man should have free will. That's the whole, like we said, the Ramban says in multiple places, that's the objective of man is to have free will and to serve God. So then, how could it only be after he eats from the tree? Was he, right? I mean, why would God command him not to? It seems like that's exactly the objective of the creation, is for him to have free will. And you know.
Maybe that's the only way for free will to come about. You have to say that. If that was God's goal, the only way for God.
The only way for free will to come about, you're saying, is if you ate from the tree?
Yeah, and to say that you can't, because that's the only situation.
It's a little twisted.
Well, that's a
it's a little twisted to say the only way to have free will is for God to say you can't, and then he does, and then God really wants him to. You know? And then you still have the problem of, but then how did he choose to eat from the tree? Did he sin by eating from the tree? Did he have free will before he ate from the tree? How does that work? You
but
still have that problem.
Like,
no, the only way for to put him in conflict is to say you can't eat from it.
But does he have free will to listen to that? Can he choose not to listen?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Ariel.
The story with it is that so the Chava, she gave Adam the ace, and what did she say? She said that it was okay to eat it because she didn't die. or
okay, so let's look at it. So that's when you answer.
Maybe he was eating it for the sake of God.
What?
Meaning it wasn't like
L'shem Shemayim.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at how the Ramban learns that pasuk by the actual sin itself. Okay, I just want to finish up this Ramban. It's interesting. It's an interesting point Ramban makes, and it'll help us for that learning the sin. Okay, v'kasher tziva kadosh baruch hu al eitz lo yochel menu lo hodia ki bo hamida zos. So when God commanded him not to eat from this tree, God did not tell him this character trait of the tree. He didn't tell him about this. Rak amar lo stam mi priya eita sher besoch hagan. Kilomar hayadua be'emtza uso. He just said the fruits of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, which you know, it's known to be in the middle. Lo socha mimenu. Don't eat from it. Okay, v'hu maimer yishol ha'nachash. You look what Chava tells Nachash. She doesn't tell you it's Eitz Hadas. V'akosav she'amar, in Pasuk Yitzayin, me'Eitz Hadas tovera lo socha mimenu. So it sounds like God did tell man that it's Eitz Hadas tovera. His kiru akosav e'leinu bishmo. He's just saying that it's an interesting point, and we'll try to explain it, why he's making a big deal out of this, because it's not so obvious. And he has to, is that God did not tell Adam and Chava what this tree was. He didn't tell them this is the Eitz Hadas Tovera. Don't eat from it. Okay? He just said, Stam, the tree in the middle of the field, in the middle of the garden. Okay?
Can you read the pasuk when you mentioned the tree?
Where God told them not to?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, let's see. So where God told them not to, it's Pasuk Yud Zayin. It says, Ve'etzav Hashem l'kim adam le'imor, mikol yitzagan achol tochal, from all the fruits of the trees you can eat, u'me'etz adas tovera lo sochal menu, ki b'yom achal chal menu mos tamos. Right, that's a problem. Okay, that contradicts the Ramban. So he has to, that's the one pasuk which contradicts what he's saying. And he says there,
God,
it sounds like that.
What does God say?
So it sounds like God is calling it that, but no, Ramban's saying no. It's really, he said, and the pasuk is telling us,
like the narrator,
that it's the, right, the pasuk is like, It's a very dochuk pshat a little bit, and you'll see why is Ramban forcing himself to say it. What's the significance of this point? Is a bit of a problem.
What was his point again?
He's saying that when in the other places that it mentions it, if you look in Perek Gimel Pasuk Gimel, for example, when Chava is talking to Nachash,
God doesn't say not eat from it. He just says you'll die.
He says lo socha menu.
I said don't eat.
Yeah. You found a loophole. But Tomar Ishal Nachash. So the woman told the Nachash, "Mi priyetz agan nochal." No, we could eat from all the other trees of the field. We priyetz asher besoch agan amar elokim lo sochal menu, for lo sigibo pentamusun. And the fruits of the tree in the middle of the field. So you see, when she's telling Nachash, she just says, "Mi priyetz asher besoch agan." She doesn't call it the Eitz Hadas Tovera. She's talking to a snake. All right, whatever. My point is, the Ramban's not learning. Ramban's learning that God did not tell them what it was. Okay, he didn't tell them the name of the tree. He didn't tell them what it did. Okay.
Which makes it into that.
And well, yeah. What's the significance? Why is he making such a big point?
Well, right. It certainly makes it more challenging, because at least before you could give man credit and say, well, he heard it was had knowledge, and he was attracted to the knowledge. But if he didn't even know what it was,
right,
how could he desire it?
Okay, good. So now look in Perek Gimel, Pasuk,
Rebbe says the thing about God's essence is, I think, D1 on the methodology.
Okay, fine. You talk to him, you ask him, okay? Perek Gimel, Pasuk Vav. Okay? So after the snake, the Nachash, has this whole conversation with the Isha, he tells her, Lomos tamusun ki yodei lekim ki biyom achachum menu nifkuchu einechem v'yisim ke lekim yodei tovera. The Nachash figures this out, right? How's the Nachash know? Vater isha ki tova eitz lemaychel v'chisavahu leinayim v'nechmad ha'eitz. The Nachash is able to figure it out.
Figure out what?
Vayisim Kelokim Yodea Tovara.
Oh.
Right. He's the one who told her about that point. According to Ramban.
Apparently didn't tell her.
God did not tell her. The Nachash is the one who enlightened her. Then it says, V'teira isha ki tove itz l'maychal. Right? The tree was good to eat. V'chisavahu le'inayim. Which is, we'll translate. Right? It's desirable to the eyes. V'nechmada itz l'haskil. And desirable. Nechmad and Taiva are similar. To understand. V'tigach me'piryo v'tochal. Okay, she takes from it, she eats.
So
she teaching.
To
okay, so Ramban explains. We'll go to Ramban. He says, Kitove etz lamaychal. What's the first thing? The woman sees Kitove etz lamaychal. She sees that the tree was good to eat. Haisa sevura ki humar v'sam mavis. She thought it was like a bitter, poisonous tree. Poison berries. Okay. V'lachain yazhir menu. And that's why God told her, don't eat from it, you're going to die. V'ata, but now, after the Nachash talked to her and showed her something, explained to her, Ra'asa ki humaycha tova masak. She said, no, that's not what's going on here. It's a good tree. It's a good fruit, and it's sweet. Right? There's nothing wrong. That's not what's going on. It's not the pshat in this tree.
Why did she trust the snake?
Apparently he made good arguments.
God tells you it's poisonous and a snake.
God didn't tell her it's poisonous. God told her, don't eat from it. He didn't tell her it's poisonous. She said, what's the svara? What the svara must be, it's poison.
Didn't she say God said I can't touch it, and that's where he caught her, no?
She added to it. She said not to touch.
No, that's where he caught her. God never.
And then he pushed her into it, right, correct.
You see that sign?
Right, but presumably she should have just said that was just the gzera I made up, and I don't know.
No, but it wasn't she made up, it was Adam.
Oh, Adam.
According to that
message. Oh, and Adam didn't tell her?
It was Adam who added on the gzera.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a good shot. Okay, Ramban doesn't bring up that point, though. Okay. The chisav ehuleinayim, so she saw that it's chisav ehuleinayim, so what does it mean? That it's desirable to the eyes. Shebo yisave v'yasar achar enav. So she realized that through it, you will have desire and you'll be able to stray after your eyes.
How did she realize this?
Okay, good question.
Wait, well, what just happened?
Backtrack.
I'll
just read the pasuk. That she saw Kitova Eitz L'Maychal, it was a good, it wasn't poison.
Okay.
V'chisavahu le'nayim, that through it, you would get desires to be able to follow what you see.
Is this following?
Hold on a minute, so she already ate from it.
No, before she eats from it.
Is this
before she eats from
is
it.
Is this following the ordered garden thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Right? So the v'chisavahu le'nayim, she realizes it's not poison, it's a good fruit. Through it, she can gain desire. She realized what she was doing. That this would grant her desires, the ability to desire and to follow after her eyes. And she realized was nechmada itzlamas lahaskil ki bo yaskil lachmod. Through it, you will be understanding. You'll be intelligent in how to desire. You will gain the understanding of desire.
Is that a negative thing right now?
What do you mean the understanding?
What do you mean a negative thing? It's a sin.
Yeah, like, it seems like
it's a good thing.
Desire? I mean, no, it just seems like after the encounter, the
it's
it, that,
it was a
it's like a negative connotation to have desire.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what
it.
Seems like.
Right, this is a bad thing for man. That's what Ramban explains. On the one hand, it's a midelukis to have these desires and to be able to choose and to go after them and not to go after them. It's a midah of a divine midah. On the other hand, it's a bad thing for a person.
So she realized
because God made man in a way where he would follow his nature and it would be great for him, and now he has all these different possibilities between good and evil.
And also, just one more question before Chaim.
Yeah. Let's be fair.
Now, it seems like the Eitz HaDaas was like an amplifier for desires. That's what it seems like.
Amplifier, that's your shot.
Like it's amplifying.
Okay.
Is that what it is? Because that's what it seems like.
Okay, it's a pshat.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
Well, I'm not giving answers yet.
Okay.
If that's your answer, we'll record it. We'll write that down. If I say amplifier, you hit it first. Okay, go ahead.
If Chava realized that this was what it was, then why didn't she realize that this wasn't a good thing?
Oh, okay. I mean, she. This is what she. You know, she sinned. She knew what she was getting herself into, though. That's what he says. He says, "Vaklal ki bo yirtze v'yachbos b'davar behefcha." So she realized that through it, she would will and she would want something, or its opposite. which is the key term, right? Yirtzev yachwatz davro behefcho. So she knew that through it she'd be able to have this midah. I mean, which is like v'yisim kelekim. This is something that only God can do. And she wanted that. She wanted to be able to want. She wanted, she has a need to have something else to make her want. She wanted to want. How could you want to be able to want? Is that possible? No, right? It's not. Right, it's impossible. If you want to want something, to be able to want, then you already want. Right? Mm. You got it. Okay, good. That's the problem. I tell you, in 15 years. Okay, fine. That's the Ramban in Bereishis. I think there might be a few other places, but okay, now I'm going to go to the Ramban in Itzavim. All right, it's Perek Lamed Pasuk Vav in Dvarim. Okay. Sorry, David. That's okay. Okay, and you'll see it's even more explicit here. Okay, so the Pasuk says, Umol Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ves levav zarecha. So God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring. La'avas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nashecha l'man chayecha. To love Hashem your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. Okay, so he'll circumcise your heart. So what does it mean to circumcise a heart? Okay.
Circumcision.
So it reminds me like this. V'nira minaksuvim inyan zeshomer. So he's saying, it looks, seems to him from the psukim, this thing which he's about to say. Ki min habriya, from the creation, haisa reshus biyad adam, alasos kirtzono, tzedek or resha. The rishus, man had the ability, the right was in the control of man, it was under his domain, to do as he wanted, to do justice or evil.
What's he talking about?
What's he going to talk about? He's going to try to explain what it means that God will circumcise your heart. So he's just saying, he's giving you a whole background here, that from the time of the creation, it was in man's domain, in man's rishus. Man had the ability to choose, to will, to do justice, to do that which is right, or to do that which is evil. Mm-hmm. Well,
before they ate Adam.
He says min habriya. Min habriya.
Yeah, that's before they ate
Adam. Maybe. You'll see, not so clear. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is one way to interpret that. It will contradict what he's about to say, but that is what you would have said. V'chol zman hatorkin, and the entire period of the Torah, this mana Torah, right? The same thing is true. Kidesh yelehem zechus bebichirasan batov, so that they will have a merit, a zechus reward, right? A zechus, a merit through choosing the good. Ve'onesh b'irtzosam bara, and they'll be punished if they choose to do evil. Okay, so that's key phrase here, is that the reason why you have free will, or you have bechira, sorry, where you have the ratzon of tzedek or resha, is that in order that you'll have a zechus when you choose the good, and you'll be punished when you choose evil. Okay? Aval b'yimos ha-Mashiach. Okay? But when Mashiach comes, the days of Mashiach and Olam Haba, the Ramban, that's, like you said, that's Ramban's position. Most Mashiach blends into Olam Haba, and it's a combination of man's physical and spiritual parts. Tia b'chira b'tov lehem teva. So choosing the good will be natural for people. Lo yisave halev l'mashein eroi v'lo cheftza b'klal. In Yimos Mashiach, people's emotions will not desire that which is not appropriate. They will not want it at all. V'hi hamila niskaraskan. That's what it means to circumcise the heart. I mean, that's what they'll become in Yimos Mashiach, right? Will be, they'll only desire that which is appropriate. Because desires and passions are a blockage of the heart. Umol halev hu shelo yachmur v'leis ava, and the circumcised a person's heart, his emotions, means that he won't have passions and he won't have desires. Yashiv adam bezmanahu lasher haya kodem cheta shadam reishan. People in the time of Mashiach will go back to how they were before Adam sinned. She'ozeh b'tivah mashroi lasos, that he used to do by his nature that which is appropriate to do. V'lo haya birtzono davar hefcho, and he didn't have it in his will, something or its opposite. K'moshe pirashti b'sei the brachos, like the Rambam we just read in brachos. V'zeh masha amar kasav b'Yirmiyahu, and this is what the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu. Hine yamim boyim nu mashem, v'karati es beis Yisrael v'es beis Yehuda bris chadasha. And God will make a new bris, a new covenant with Beis Yisrael and Beis Yehuda. Lo kabris asher karati asovos avasavos amigomer, ki zos abris asher echos is Beis Yisrael achar yamahim nasati as tarasi bekirbam v'alibam echtevena. So this new bris that God's going to make, He's going to place His Torah internally. It'll be His Torah will be internalized inside us, and it will be written on our hearts. It won't be written on parchment anymore. It'll be written on our hearts. It'll be internal. So what does that mean? V'zehu, the Ramban says, bitol hayetzer v'asos ha'lev b'tivo ma'aseh aroy. It's the cessation and the ending of the yetzer, of the psyche, as we know it. And it's a person's emotions by its his nature doing the appropriate actions. L'kach amar od. If you look further in the Pesukim, Yirmiyahu, it's Perek Lamed, right? Pasuk Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel. Vayisi lahem lelokim, vehima yili lam, right? I'll be for them a God, and they'll be for me a nation. Velo yilam duot ishes re'eu v'ishes achiv lemor duas Hashem. And people aren't going to teach their friends, and they're not going to teach their brothers to say, know God. You're not going to have to tell people. You're not going to teach them you should know God and tell them, give them a little muster. Wake up early, daven, learn, go, you should try to pursue knowledge of God. Everybody's going to know him from God, from their youth, from young ones and old ones. You're not going to have to teach anybody. They'll just know God.
What does that mean? Isn't that something you have to learn?
You're not going to be taught to know God. You're not going to have to, nobody's going to have to tell you, you should know God. You should
How else will you know God?
Well, you'll pursue the knowledge of God, but nobody's going to have to teach you that you should pursue knowledge of God.
Now
everybody knows that man's emotions are evil from his youth. You have to instruct people. So how could this be? But at that point, in Yemos Mashiach, you're not going to have to instruct kids anymore. You're not going to have education. No more school. Ella, she is batli yitzer bezmanu legamri. Their yitzer will be completely nullified, gone.
He holds that there will be children.
Yeah, he does. V'chein erbi yecheskel. Venasati lachem lev chadash v'ruach chadasha etain v'gomer. God says, I'll give them a new heart and a new spirit. V'alev chadash yirm l'tivo. The new heart is referenced to his nature. His nature will be different. V'ruach l'chefetz v'ratzon. And the spirit means his what he wants and what he desires. It will all become new. V'zeu sham rabbaseinu zal. V'higiyu shanim asher tomer eini b'hem chefetz. That's a pasuk in Koheles. With do tshuva before the days come, whether the years come where you say ein li behem chefetz, I no longer have desires. Eli mos Mashiach she'ein behem lo zchus v'lo chova. That's Chazal. That ein li behem chefetz is referring to mos Mashiach, where there's no zchus and no chova. There's no reward. There's no merits and there's no responsibilities. So, the yamim v'yigiu shanim asher tomer ein li behem chefetz. So you should do tshuva before the years come where you will say, Ein li behem chefetz, I no longer have any desire. Right? The Rambam says it refers to old age, right? That's the Rambam, it's Hichos Tshuva. But the Chazal, the Rabban's quoting, it's in Gemara Shabbos, Kufnun Aleph.
If you do Tshuva before you turn old?
That's the Rambam in Hichos Tshuva in Perek Beis, Tshuva Gemura, before you lose your desires and you're no longer in the same situation. The Ramban, though.
Oh, because then you need to come to the same situation.
Yeah. It's the Ramban. But the Ramban is quoting the Gemara and Shabbos. So he's saying, Eli Mos Mashiach. What's the Shanim, the years where you say, Ein li behem chefetz, I no longer have desires, Mos Mashiach? Because those are the days where there's no Schus and there's no Chova. Ki bimei Mashiach, lo yeh ba'adam chefetz. In the days of Mashiach, a person's not going to have chefetz, desires.
You just simply say when the guy's dead.
No, these are Shanim. Asher Tomer and the Mem Chefetz. These are actual years where you're going to say. Oh. Right.
So Mashiach comes, we're not going to have desires anymore.
And Yemos Mashiach is Olam Haba. You're going to go back to Adam before the sin, which we're going to try to explain. But, right, Kibi Mei Mashiach lo yeh ba'adam chefetz. You're not going to have wants. You're not going to have these wants that you have. Avo yase betivo hamaisa hu aroi. You will do by your nature the actions that are appropriate. Ulufikach. Yes. Ulufikach ein bem lo schus v'lo chova. But you're just going to do what's appropriate. You're not, therefore, you're not going to get schus, you're not going to have chova. Ki eschus v'chova tluyin b'chefetz. Because schus and chova is contingent on the fact that you have wants and desires. What's your question, Chaim? Doesn't it apply that you have wants?
Yeah, I mean, what's the motivating factor?
Right.
Why are you just saying that, like, we just do stuff because of the laws of nature?
Right. Good question. What is the Ramban talking about? Is he talking about you're going to become like a robot, a total robot?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound too appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with wanting to want?
Because it doesn't exist. You can't want to want.
Okay, fine. What's wrong with want?
What's wrong with wants?
It leads to suffering.
Well, I mean, I'm saying like...
He's saying it's bad for a person in the sense that now you don't always do the appropriate things to do. I mean, look at all the harm and bad things that people cause themselves and others.
So what about all the good things?
Causes attachment,
all the good things, you would have done them anyway by your very nature. You were programmed, I guess, to do what was good, to follow your nature.
So that's not free will.
It's
definitely not free will. Okay.
Does it mean that it works that Mashiach removes the taiva, or that until I can not eat a Big Mac, until I can stop wanting to eat a Big Mac, then and only then Mashiach will come. Once that desire is even absent in me, that's when the era comes, or the opposite, that the era removes that desire in the first place?
I think it means, right, in the second way, that once you have Yemos Mashiach, this is something that God will do for us in Yemos Mashiach. But not that this brings about Mashiach, no. This is in Yemos Mashiach. How he does it, I don't know.
And he that he kills the Yitzhara?
Yes. That's how Rambam learns it.
He kills us. We're the Yitzhara.
You're the Yitzhara. That's pretty dark. Okay. So those are the sources. Okay. Those are the sources. And like I said, the problem is it's staring you in the face, Rambam saying, is how exactly does man sin if he doesn't have free will before he eats from the tree? So how did he sin to begin with? And how do you punish him? The Ramban here is saying clearly is that he says that man has reshus b'yadam lasas kirtzono tzedek o'resha k'dei sh'yilem z'chus b'b'chirasam b'tov onish b'rtzosam b'ra. Right? So you only punish them when they choose evil. Right?
And they weren't punished, were they?
The onish Adam and Chav and the snake?
They weren't killed.
There was an onesh. There was definitely an onesh. Yeah, they were definitely punished. How do you punish them if they didn't have free will when they ate from the tree?
We lost our immortality.
I heard it just in taken up that it wasn't really a punishment per se. Meaning it was that, meaning when Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, it showed that Gan Eden itself could no longer suffice for Adam, because Adam needed more than what Gan Eden was.
Right.
So meaning, when he was kicked out of the garden, because he couldn't exist there anymore, because the garden only existed for a perfect man who can just use whatever his basic needs were.
Right.
So it wasn't a punishment per se, being kicked out, just Gan Eden wasn't...
A natural consequence.
Isn't
yeah.
that what all punishments are?
But yeah.
It wasn't...
Get out of here.
And women had to suffer through labor and...
Man has to work.
That's just that's a natural consequence.
Man's got to work the fields.
No, meaning kicked out.
It's not a punishment.
No, meaning kicked out. No, not saying for...
No, okay, I understand what you're saying. I understand that shot. Okay, but I mean, the bigger question, just the biggest question, is if man doesn't have free will, how did he sin? Right?
It was definitely a sin.
Right, okay.
There's two possibilities. Either he didn't sin or he had free will beforehand.
But we know he sinned, and Rabban's saying he didn't have free will. You have a problem, right?
What one of those has to be.
Something's got to give, right?
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. So now I'll read you, Art Score brings down a pshat. Okay? And I really think, until I had this idea this a couple of weeks ago, this is like the only thing you could say. I don't even know. I don't like it.
We have like no chance of getting it ourselves?
What? And I don't know. I mean, it took me 15 years. You can give a different pshat. There must be many answers. Okay. I'll just read you their little footnote. Okay. Okay. I like their answer. Okay. And it satisfied me for many years. So, I mean, I didn't really like it, but it was, you know, it was something.
Why are you giving it to us?
I just want to tell it to you. You don't have to. Don't listen if you don't like to. I'll read you the footnote, and I don't know exactly who it is.
You have
is.
An alternative answer?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to read you the upshot. Okay. At first glance, Ramban seems to be asserting that man had no free choice, the capability to decide between doing what is right and doing what is wrong. It's footnote 97, by the way, on page 103.
On the Ramban?
On the Ramban, in Bereshis, yeah.
See, that's a question, right?
Right? See, he's asserting that man has no free choice before eating the forbidden fruit. This, however, is impossible, for the entire purpose of man's existence is to overcome the temptation to evil and to choose good. See Ramban in Dvarim, right? Lamed Vav. And also Lamed Beis, Chavav, if you look for the sources where that's the whole purpose of man. This question is raised by Akedas Yitzchak, Shar Zion. Furthermore, so that's one question. Furthermore, if Adam had no free choice of action, how could he eat of the forbidden fruit? See also Rav Eliyahu Dessler. Oh, okay. Right? So these are the two obvious questions. They jump out at you. Isn't man supposed to have, isn't that the whole purpose of man to have free will? And if he doesn't have free will, how could he sin? So Rav Yerucham Levavitz, thank you, explains that Ramban's intention is something else entirely. Adam before the sin was capable of deciding whether to embrace evil or good. However, he was inherently disinclined to choose evil. He cites this example as an illustration. A person is capable of going naked in the street, but he is mentally inhibited from doing so. Okay. Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Okay.
Let's go.
I guess it's a little different. In his discussion of Adam's sin, writes that Adam was naturally disinclined to sin. His example is, a person is capable of jumping into a fire, but he is instinctively loath to do so. Okay.
The classic.
So that's what I'm saying. So that's like, you, like man has the free will to jump in the fire, but he's not going to. But Adam and Chava decided, let's jump in a fire. Okay.
And they did have free will.
Right. Saying they have free will to jump in a fire. You just don't jump in fires in general. And then for some reason, the Chava's like, snake's like, you know, that fire looks good. And she's like, yeah, it looks hot. I'm going to jump right in and...
Wait,
and she
so,
did.
So he's saying that.
What?
Wait, so he's saying
why did you
Chava.
His answer?
Why didn't I?
Why did you?
What else are you going to say?
But so he's saying that Chava didn't have a mental.
Better a bad answer than a good question.
No.
Is that how it goes? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Wait, so he's saying that Chava didn't have. He didn't have. I'm sorry. So he's saying that Chava didn't have the mental or instinct component to jump in the fire. Meaning like that.
Yeah, it's like,
other...
do you have the free will to jump in a fire?
Yeah.
Are you going to?
Probably not.
Right. That's what he's saying. That's what it was like.
But sinning
to a man beforehand was like jumping into a
fire. So why didn't Chava do that?
So why did they?
Well, yeah, why did they? Why didn't they have that?
Why didn't they have what?
The idea to not jump in the fire.
They had that idea not to jump in the fire, but still
so
they
why?
Chose to.
So, no,
but why?
I don't know. That's a problem.
Okay.
So he didn't answer the question.
What?
He didn't answer the question.
It creates a new problem.
But the Rambam said beforehand...
Ramban?
Beforehand that they didn't have free will. He didn't say that necessarily.
You know, it's like implicit in what he's saying to a certain sense is it causes him to have Bechira. He never says Bechira Chafshis. He never says free will. Which is, I'm going to make a big deal out of that, okay? I'm going to make a very big deal out of that point. He never uses the term free will, but he does says that it's molad, it gives him bechira, betovu, bera, bedavru, behefcho, that he can choose the good or the bad or the thing or its opposite, choices. That God created them yashar, and vehema bikshu cheshbonos rabim is he created them straight in one path, and they sought after many different alternative paths and different ways. But he never said, quite says they didn't have free will. It's amazing that Ramban doesn't even deal with this problem. It's like so obvious a problem that he, but he never treats of it. He never takes it up.
Because he doesn't have this problem.
Well, you have had this problem? You've heard this, Ramban?
No.
Isn't that like the...
No, Rebbe was able to answer me.
Oh. They know the fire marshal?
I asked every single one of my high school... No, they said the high school marshal.
The fire marshal?
They used with sticking your hand in the fire, though.
Oh, it's the same thing.
But I don't... That's terrible.
At least it's a shot.
No. I don't accept it then. I'm not accepting now.
Doesn't the Rambam in the Morning of Islam describe that?
Like a, yeah, the Rambam has his own svar for the whole sin. With the emes and the sheker and the tov and the ra and the for samos, yeah, he has a different shot.
That's actually.
No, we're doing the Ramban though.
Oh.
Okay. No cheating. No, I'm not gonna say the Ramban shot. It's a different shot.
What's the shot on the
Okay, so Yisrael's saying bring us back to the question of why is Ramban making a big deal, which really seems to go against the psukim almost. He has to like really force himself out to learn the psukim that Adam and that man did not know. Or God did not tell man what the Eitz Hadas was. He didn't name it for him. He didn't tell him what it did. And man basically had to try to... He was informed ultimately through the conversation with the snake. Right? Okay, so let's start from there. Okay, so maybe just to summarize what we said last week. Okay? That Adam in the garden, Gan Eden was a... Like we said in Pasuk Ches. Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan BeEden, that God planted a garden in Eden, and it was an ordered garden. That's what Ramban learns is Vayita. It was ordered, where it didn't just grow randomly like the way plants naturally grow, but it was designed. It was a garden designed by God, where every tree was in a specific spot, how God made it, and the design of the garden was that man should be able to go through it, go through the different trees. And he would, like the Rashba explained, he would eat from the different trees and he would study them and he would be able to attain intellectual concepts, abstract intellectual ideas from the trees themselves. The trees were set up in a way where it was designed to point him to intellectual ideas. So we speculated that it could be that it was, like in science, that there's like certain critical experiments that show you, give you insights into the laws of nature. And it's hard to discover those, but if God, it was like specifically set up by God to lead him step by step by step into understanding of nature, understanding of the laws of biology and zoology with the animals and physics and chemistry, and to show him how God made the world and give him insight and understanding of the laws of nature. And that's what man was. And his job was to go through the garden and understand the laws. And then he had to apply it. The Ramban learns that there was like a part of the garden that was not, it was like a field. And man's job was to plant seeds there and to harvest it and to eat like wheat and barley, things like that, that don't grow on their own. The trees and the fruits were permanent that God made, but the man's job was to take the knowledge that he learned about nature from the trees and transfer that to the other part of the garden and develop it and cultivate it. Love de l'shamra. But basically, man was a scientist and God was his teacher and instructing him, and the garden was designed to be the perfect open textbook, the living textbook, to teach man about the laws of nature. And what he would do is he would go through the garden, mikol itzagan achal tochal, by going from tree to tree, and it was an interactive experience. And he would eat from the tree, and that was part of his learning, experiencing the tree and experiencing the ideas that the tree represented or the tree taught, you know. And he would follow his instincts by following his natural desire for knowledge and his desire for the good fruits. And he would go from tree to tree and he would eat the fruits. And he would learn about the garden, learn about the world. And that's what man was. And this was, that was that God made man Yashar. And that was man's nature. And he did that. And he followed it and he learned about the world. The problem is like this, is that nature, man has a natural desire to learn about the world and to study each tree and to eat the fruits of every tree, which was good. That's exactly what he was supposed to do. The problem is that desire would lead him to eat from every single tree and to study every single tree. Okay, but there is certain ideas that man could not partake of them in that method, in the method of in the sensual way, in the experiential way. By eating from the fruits. There was a certain group of ideas or an idea or a realm that was represented by the Eitz Hadas, Tovara, by this tree, the ideas of this tree. And that was not good for man to experience that. He could use his mind to try to figure out the realm of the tree, the ideas represented by the tree, but he could not act with this tree in the same way he did with all the other trees. Okay. And that's what God told man. Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochal Tochal. You could eat from all the other trees. Follow your nature. Follow your instincts. It's good. You're going to gain by pursuing, by following your natural instincts. You're going to come. You're going to learn a tremendous amount about the world. You're going to interact with the world, experience with the world, and eat from all the fruits. But there's one tree that you can't do that with. Now this tree.
Why not?
That's what God told him.
Because
it's a tree. Because something bad is going to happen to a person when he does that. If he eats from the tree, that's going to cause a certain change in him that's not going to be good for him to experience it and to interact with those ideas.
Didn't say that's going to be bad for him.
Then why was he planted?
Well, he said you're going to die.
Then why was it planted there if it wasn't good for him?
Oh, why? So why is the tree there? That's what I want to say. I say the tree.
The whole idea of the garden.
The tree has to be there because the idea of this tree is essential. It's in the middle of the garden. It's an essential idea. Okay? The fact that, let's just, I don't want to, we'll say one possibility. Let's say the idea of the tree is the freedom to choose anything you want. Let's just say that is the idea. I'm not sure. You can't, that's the idea. Let's say something like that. It's how God can create the world. Right? Like Rashi says, he ate from the tree and he created the world. Right? It said that God is the freedom to create the world any way he wants.
Who ate from the tree and created the world?
That's what the Nachash told Chava. That he ate from the tree, God ate from the tree, created the world. Don't worry about it, okay? Mm-hmm. But I'm saying it's the idea of freedom, the idea of total freedom, that nothing else in nature really can comprehend. Nothing else in nature can really experience, because nothing else in nature really has total freedom. They're all constrained by the nature given to them by God. But God is not constrained by his nature. He has total freedom. So there's an essential idea. I'm just speculating. That's the idea of the tree. There's an essential idea that's represented by the tree and that you can learn about the tree. You see, the Nachash in his conversation with Chava was able to point it out to her. Apparently, you were able to figure out the concept of the Eitz Hadas, Tovara. You were able to understand that concept intellectually, right, without having to eat from the tree, without interacting with it in the experiential, sensual, appetitive way. Okay, you could still see the concept, and that concept was essential to the garden. You need it. You can't just take out part of the ideas of a system of thought. It's the core. It's part of one of the core ideas of the system of thought of the garden. And it was essential that it was there. God couldn't leave that tree out, so to speak. You'd be distorting the whole ideas of the garden. It's essential intellectually that the idea be there. On the other hand, it's important that man does not engage in that tree with those ideas in an experiential way. Okay, even though through experiencing it, he opens up a whole new realm of reality to him that he wouldn't really have through just studying intellectually.
So why didn't God make it that he didn't want to eat that fruit? I mean, you have animals who don't know.
This is the thing. The thing is that there's nothing different about this tree. There was nothing different about the tree that it should be. Look, you like apples and you like oranges and you have a desire to eat them, but nope, figs you don't like. There's no way to make man's nature such that this is one tree he doesn't want. It's not possible.
Designed to identify right. Specifically.
Correct. It's not possible to program it into man. There's nothing universally wrong with this tree. It's
is
just
that
a,
why the Gemara says like it was an apple, like normal fruit?
Right. It was a wheat. It was an apple. It was figs, right? Grapes, right? So machlokas, right? The Gemara and Brachos. So the point is like this. So what happens is like this. God gave man the perfect nature for man. There's just one problem. The one problem is that this is the perfect universal nature for man to have, so to speak. And if he follows it, he's going to have the greatest understanding of nature, the greatest understanding of God. And it's a perfect thing for him, and it's a perfect garden. It's just there's one tree in this garden that if man engages with it in an appetitive, instinctual, sensual way, not with just his mind, but he engages with his appetite and he eats from it, it's going to be bad for man to experience those things that will change man, and it'll be bad for him. But on the other hand, you can't leave the tree out of the garden. The tree has to be there. You can't distort the whole complex of ideas by leaving an essential idea. But on the other hand, you don't want you want man to have this nature that he goes from tree to tree and he eats from the trees and he partakes and he follows his instincts, and that's what he's programmed to do. That's what he's made to do. That's the perfect man. And you place him in this garden. So there's an inherent problem. So what's the solution? What's the solution from this? You give man free will. And you tell him, don't eat from that tree. Overcome your nature. Your nature is to eat from all the trees. Follow your nature in general. Mikol Yitzhagan Achal Tochal. Follow your nature. That's good. You have a very good nature. Good, and God gave man, he created him Yashar. He created him, Elohim, he created him in a straight way. But what God did is he said, look, this, you and man have to be special because of the problem of the Eitz Hadas. Because he doesn't want, you can't eat from the Eitz Hadas Tovara, the tree in the middle of the field, in the middle of the garden, don't eat from it. So the solution is to give man free will, where he can overcome his nature and not eat from the tree. Let me just one point. Yeah. So the thing is like this, is what I call it this year, intrinsic free will, is I think from this point of view as Ramban, free will is not something that God just slapped onto man as an ad hoc addition. That you have this intellectual creature who's physical, and you know what? Let's give him free will. No. Free will is intrinsic in man's creation, that he needs to have free will. Because man's, his perfect ideal nature has a certain conflict, that if he were to follow it to its ultimate end, it would be destructive to him. And the only solution is free will, where he can overcome his nature in a particular circumstance. His universal nature is amazing, but it runs into a conflict in a particular isolated circumstance. And the only solution is to say, you have the ability to overcome your nature and not eat from that tree. And if man could do that, that's the perfect thing. He has the free will in that isolated circumstance where it would be bad for him to eat from it. But in general, he just follows his nature and just does what his instincts and his natural teva, his psyche, his instincts tell him to do. And he's going to be the greatest possible existence, learn the most about nature, and he's going to be a very happy species, very happy individual. But he has to have free will to overcome the particular conflict of the eights. The eights can't be left out of the garden, but man shouldn't eat from it. So the resolution is free will. And that's why I say it's intrinsic free will. It's because it's not, I think there is a way of looking at free will that God just says, you know, I'll take a smartest monkey, I'll give it free will, and that, call it man, you know. But no, that's, it's not. It's intrinsic in man's nature, is you have to give him free will to overcome the problem of the eating from the Eitz Hadas.
Well, no, isn't that you take a monkey, give it free will so that it could overcome its nature?
So that he's able to overcome his nature, because his nature is the best nature for man is almost always perfect, except for this one situation with the eights. And you have to leave the eights in there. Okay, so I was telling this over with Rabbi Feder. He remember he thought of an interesting comparison.
How does it answer the question?
Okay, go ahead. Hold on one second. Did you have a question before or no? So I will come back to. I'll give you my mashah afterwards. Yeah.
So why? I don't know if it's going your sort, but why couldn't just God just? It's a why question. Why did he have to tell them not to eat from the Eitz Hadas? Like, who cares? Like,
because he has to know that. He has to know
because
that.
But he
could have just like made it not a thing. Just make it.
Not have the tree.
Meaning, like,
you have to have the tree in the garden, and man's nature is to eat fruits.
To eat fruits, fine, but why do they have to make it usher to eat from the fruit?
Because it was bad for man. It was bad for man to eat from the fruits of the tree, of the Eitz Hadas. It was bad for him.
I know, but it's only bad because God says so.
No. It's not bad because man said so. It's bad because what it did to man.
Not man, God.
So it's not bad because God said so. God said not to eat from it because it was bad for man. Because look what it did to man. It changed him. It changed him. It created this whole nature that we have now.
But
which I'm going to get to.
What we are saying is bad because God said to man not to eat from it. But so why did God have to say not to eat from it?
Because it was just like every other tree.
Yeah, it was just like, right, exactly. It's just like
God
every other tree.
Say so, man, there was no distinguishing features of the tree.
Right, you couldn't know that it would be harmful to you until after you ate from it and realized what it caused. And how it changed your nature, and you say, well, I should not have eaten from that. That's a bad idea. So only after you experience it do you realize this is a bad idea. So man, God tells man in advance, don't eat from it. It's going to be bad for you.
It's not such a crazy concept. It happens to people all the time.
Right, yeah. Right, correct. No, the example was Richard Feynman, where he wouldn't eat. He wouldn't. He was like a very curious person, Richard Feynman, a great scientist, and he would, you know, study all different areas of nature and reality. And but when it came to like drugs, he like realized, maybe he tried pot, I don't know, a few times, or I don't know, but he realized that like there are certain psychological states that drugs put you in, which are very interesting to explore. But he realized like if he does that, he's gonna like or alcohol, things like that, that you could explore. And it's a realm to be explored, you know, experimenting with drugs. And there's new psychological insights you can get in different mind states. But he realized it's harmful to his brain. And he likes physics much more. He likes learning about the world much more. It's not worth risking his brain and his mind, you know, for this one area of knowledge, which was very interesting and fascinating, but it compromises and puts in jeopardy the great insights he could have into physics and into the, you know, the world of science at large. So you can study drugs and what it does to people intellectually by reading about it, things like that, and that's what he did, but he didn't experience it. And there's a certain, you know, as he would have liked to. So it's a similar kind of idea here, is that there's a realm of ideas that this tree represented that man had to learn about at a distance intellectually, but he couldn't experience it. And through, even though by experiencing it, he gains that there's a realm of knowledge that's cut off from him because he hadn't experienced it. The realm that we know about, this world that we live in, that we have, what happens, that we can choose to be however we want to be. We don't have to choose to pursue knowledge. We can choose to pursue our desires, right? We have many different life possibilities that we can do whatever we want. How many different ways of life are there that people have come up with? Different philosophies on how they should lead their life. It's so many now because we have the Bechira. We have the choice now not to just pursue knowledge of God, not to just pursue science and pursue nature and to learn Torah. We don't have to do that. We can do many other. We could become hedonists. We could just pursue pleasure as an end in itself. Adam couldn't do that. Okay, so we have something, this life that we have, this ability to choose Chishbonos Rabin, many different paths of life. He couldn't understand that in a experiential way like we can. Okay, he just could understand it intellectually, like the Nachash talked about it, the Das Tova Ra, there's this concept of being able to he didn't partake of it experientially, correct. Once he partook of it experientially, it changed him. And he became like we are now. So on the one hand, it's good, because you have, it's Midas Elokis on one hand, because now it's like godly in the sense that you can choose any lead, you can choose to exist, you can choose not to. You can take yourself out of existence and, you know, worship Avodah Zarah. You can destroy your soul. You can do whatever you want.
But
you can
experientially realize that he had free will by not eating from the fruit, no?
He had the free will to overcome his nature, but he couldn't choose a different nature. We have the ability to choose different life paths, different ways we want to be. He had...
Not follow his nature or not follow his nature.
He basically...
Why is it not following your nature, another path? Is it just a negative?
Yeah, it's just like holding himself back. Yeah. Exactly. It's not choosing a whole different way of life. We have the ability to choose totally different ways of life, which is not really good for us. It would be much better that we only chose a good way of life. That was beneficial for us, led to happy existence, led to us, you know, in the having knowledge about the world and knowledge of God and having very happy, good existences. So we have the ability to choose bad existences, which, you know, on the one hand, it's godly because we're not constrained. On the other hand, it's not a very good thing for us. And that's why God didn't want us to do it. So, but this tree and eating from it opened up this whole new realm for man, which was not good for him. That was the sin. That was the mistake he made. So
that was the exploring another thing outside of his nature.
But
that was in his nature.
To do what?
Eating from the fruit.
Eating from the fruit, I'm saying was. Because that's a fruit, a tree in the garden with fruits. And it represents ideas. And eating from, experiencing the ideas through eating from the fruit gave man new insights into that realm. And from all the other trees, that was the thing to do. It was to study the trees and eat from the fruits. And that's how he gained insight into nature. And this is really the way to do it for the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. That is the way to do it. It's just not good for man to do it because certain areas of knowledge, once you experience them, they change you and that's bad for you. That's what I'm saying. That was the mashal Eli gave from like drugs, things like that. It is an area of knowledge. And if you experience it, it opens up new areas to you. But experiencing and getting involved in it could be harmful. You could lose everything else. So Adam had to, this one area, he had to be able to control himself.
It's like one of these like disgusting facts that like people don't want to know about food.
Right. Well, I don't know. Okay. So that's what I'm saying is he had free will. He had free will, but he didn't have bechira. Well, the Ramban says bechira to choose something or its opposite, or good or bad, or the desire for good or bad means he didn't have the desire. He didn't have the ability to choose a different nature, a different way of life, a bad way of life. He just followed his natural instincts, which led him onto the good way of life. And nowadays, what we have is we have schus and chova. It's because schus and chova means you can choose to follow a good way of life, that's a schus. You can choose to follow a bad way of life, that's a chova. That's what Bechira means now. That's what our choices are now. Our choices are very different than his choice. His choice was to overcome his instincts and his nature in this one particular tree and not to follow it. God told him not to, it's going to be bad. That was his one choice. Our choice is very different than his. We have the choice to choose who we want to be, how we want to lead our life, what we want to pursue, what our ends are. Do we want to study the reality? Do we want to pursue desires? Do we want to make money? Do we want to, you know, do we want to pursue kavod? Do we want to have friends, and do we want just so many different options, so many different choices, different ways of life we can choose. And Bechira for us means to choose the right one, the best one, the one that Adam was on, the path Adam was already on naturally. It's to basically choose to go back onto that path, to studying the world and learning about God, which he was on automatically. We each have to choose. And that in Yemos Mashiach, you're going to automatically be on that path. You're not going to have to choose again. You're going to be back to that point. Okay, I don't think you're going to lose Bechira, Chafshis in the Yemos Mashiach. You're not going to lose free will in a sense, because Adam before the Chet had free will, he sinned. But your natural desires and your natural instincts will just automatically, from the time of your youth, be directed towards studying the world and learning about God. Automatically, that's what's going to happen. That's what Yemos Mashiach is going to be like. That's what Adam was like before the sin. So we have something, you know, we have something a little different, which is Midas Elokis on one side, but bad for a person on the other hand.
Hold on. So just to see if I got it straight. So the free will we have now, is it different than the free will that Adam Rishon had?
Yeah.
The choices available to you are much different.
So
you can choose. You can choose the different ways of life and different objectives and different purposes. Chishbonos Rabim. He couldn't. His one choice, he had to follow his nature, to go around the garden learning about the world, eating from the fruits. His one choice was not to eat from the Eitz Hadas.
But that nature was automatic, you're saying, by Adam.
That's who he was. That's what he was. That's what he did.
That's how he was born.
Yeah.
Correct. But us, we don't have that. We don't have that.
You're not born automatically desiring to pursue knowledge of God. You have to be instructed and educated and taught that.
But we have the choice to go on that path.
Yes, through education, through being taught, through the Torah.
And Adam didn't have that choice because he was already automatic.
Yeah, he didn't. It wasn't a choice. That's just what he was. That's how he grew up. That's what he did.
Okay.
That's who he was automatically.
And what was Adam's choice?
To overcome his nature, in that case, vis-a-vis this one tree,
okay,
and to study the ideas of the tree from a distance, but not to engage in it experientially.
Got it.
Even though his nature was to engage with the ideas experientially through eating from the trees and all the fruits, mm-hmm, and that's what he did through the rest of the garden. That was amazing. That's how he gained knowledge. But this tree, God told him it would be bad for him to do it.
Right.
So it was a sin. He had the free will, but it opened up through eating from the tree. It opened up a whole vista of new types of choices. And that's what Ramban means. Now we have a Bechira of a thing and its opposite, which we can choose, and that Adam Rishon didn't have at that point. And Yemos Mashiach had to go back to, you know, the way it was before the sin.
Okay.